Thank you, Reagan, for reading the word to us this morning. If you would like to stand, please do so now.
Him now, how great, how awesome is he. could not hold you, gentle before you, silence the boasts of sin and grave. Heaven's outroaring, praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival. Yours is the glory, yours is the name.
your meditation this morning, I found online, is entitled Dressing Up. Galatians 3:26 and 27. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Or, as the King James so eloquently puts the last verse, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It is fashionable in some Christian circles to scowl at Halloween as a heathen holiday, a tribute to Satan, a terrible thing to do. I will leave you to your own opinion of this, but I must ask you to look at it for the moment through the eyes of a child. Remember for the moment that remember for the moment that to the pure all things are pure. That's in Titus 1:15. Have you ever seen a child dressing up for Halloween? For that matter, give a small child a trunk of old clothes and the child soon becomes someone else. My father was a soldier when I was growing up. How often did I play at being a soldier? The uniforms may seem absurdly large to adult eyes, but I looked at them through the eyes of a child and I saw a much finer picture. The Bible frequently assures us that we are the children of God. Our Lord goes so far as to state in Matthew 18:3, he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. It's Halloween, we're his children, so what would we dress up as? Well, some of us would dress up in our favorite fantasy clothes, but I think that most children at any other time of the year, with of course no prompting from the toy makers, would dress up like I did as a child, just like their father. We would, as it says in King James, put on Christ. But that's not all. We have small children in our neighborhood, and they do dress up once in a while. It's really charming to watch them as they come to the door and announce to you that I'm, you know, whatever it is. Said, we know who they really are, of course, but with a smile on our face, we say, of course you are. So we go to our Heavenly Father and announce to him, I'm Christ, or at least I'm a little Christ, for that is what Christian means. We have put on the costume of Christ, imitating him as we can, and our Father smilingly says, of course you are. The privilege of putting on Christ is a privilege of being a child of God. The privilege was gained for us at the cross. My father's uniforms did not come from the costume shop, but from his hard service in the army. My Lord's crown did not come by pretense, but by death, burial, and the resurrection. He paid the price so that we might wear the crown. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, first for just another beautiful day. Thank you for the beauty outside that you provided to us. We thank you for those that made it a priority to start out their week in your house. Lord, we ask a special blessing on all of those here, and certainly a blessing on those that aren't able to be here but would like to. Lord, we thank you for the blessings of life. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us. As unworthy as we are, we just thank you for the blessings of life. We thank you for these emblems right now that we can take in remembrance of you. We ask you to bless them to our body. In Christ's precious name.
God's raven, raven you. Rings up our face, I'm breathing you. You're my way in Jesus. Every breath I breathe, I'm breathing you. Na 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 na. Every move I made, I'm breathing you. You're my movie, Jesus. Every move I made, I'm breathing you. I'm breathing you. You are my way in Jesus. Every breath I breathe, I'm breathing you. Waves of mercy, waves of grace. Everywhere I look, I see your grace. Hold on, capture me. Oh my God, how can it be? Na 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 na. Every step I breathe, I breathe in you. You are my way in Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Waves of mercy, waves of grace. Everywhere I look, I see your grace. Oh, how love has captured me. Oh, my God, this love, how can it be? Na 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 na.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jeremiah. I'm ready to preach now. Growing up, I had several favorite Bible stories. My parents used to read us Bible stories at night, and one of my favorites, for many different reasons, was about Balaam and his donkey. Many of you have heard this story before, and if you haven't, don't worry, I'm going to read it. But Balaam was a messenger for God. He gave the, like a lot of prophets and a lot of messengers, he gave the different people messages from the Lord. He also delivered messages to not just regular folk, but kings as well. Balaam had audience before some very powerful men back in his day. And God would send him to different people to give them different messages, sometimes to correct their ways or to correct the ways of the people as where they should go. This is all the way back in the book of Numbers, is the story of Balaam. So he's well at the beginning of the Bible. And like I said, if you haven't read the story of Balaam and his donkey, there's some amazing things that absolutely amazed me as a child, but even as an adult. To read this for what it is, and there are so many different life lessons from this very short story of Balaam on his way to see a king, and God corrects his path, God gets upset with him, and uses his donkey to set him on the right track. So if you would, if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn to Numbers chapter 22, it's the fourth book of the Bible, Numbers. I'm going to read the whole chapter here, or not the whole chapter. I'm going to start with verse 21, read the rest of the chapter. It says, Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, she turned off the road and into a field. Balaam beat her to get her back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between two vineyards with walls on both sides. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat her again. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam, and he was angry and beat her with his staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?" Balaam answered the donkey, "You have made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now." The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" "No," he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. The angel of the Lord asked him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times?" "I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If she had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now, but I would have spared her." Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned. I did not realize you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now if you are displeased, I will go back." The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but speak only what I tell you." So Balaam went with the princess of Balak. When Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet with him at the Moabite town of the Arnon border at the edge of the territory. Balak said to Balaam, "Did I not send you an urgent summons? Why didn't you come to me? Am I really not able to reward you?" "Well, I have come to you now," Balaam replied, "but can I say just anything? I must speak only what God puts in my mouth." Then Balaam went with Balak to Kiriath Huzoth. Balak sacrificed cattle and sheep and gave some to Balaam and the princes who were with him. The next morning, Balak took Balaam up to Bamoth Baal, and from there he saw part of the people. There are a lot of miraculous things happening in this very little story, a lot of life lessons that we can learn, but I want to concentrate on just a few short ones. And the very first one is, don't hate the messenger. Balaam here, like I said, is a man of God. He's a messenger of God. He is put in a high position where he has access and audience with some very important people in the world, namely princes and kings. So he's pretty high up there, and sometimes when you get pretty high up there, you can become a little arrogant, or you can become thinking that you know everything that you need to know. And this time, Balaam needed to be corrected by God. God was upset with him, and God wanted to change his direction, and he did so by putting this angel of the Lord right in front of the donkey. The donkey sees the angel. Balaam obviously does not. And then the donkey gets mad at Balaam because she's being beaten over and over and over again. So God just decides, "I'm going to open up this donkey's mouth and allow it to talk to Balaam." And the donkey corrects Balaam. And Balaam doesn't like that, and he gets mad. He gets upset. And before he opened the donkey's mouth, he beats the donkey. So my question I want to ask us this morning is, why do we get mad when we are corrected? There's some times where we are corrected by people who love us very, very much, or our family members, or friends. And boy, do we get in defensive mode to the point where maybe sometimes we just want to beat something when we think we have it all together. I think sometimes in our minds, in our hearts, we believe that we have it all together because we're used to telling everybody that we've got it all together. We walk in to church on Sunday morning and we tell everybody everything's great everything's fine, when maybe sometimes deep inside, everything's not great. Everything's not fine. But boy, do we put on that appearance, and we want the world to know that we have a good position. We have a good position with God. We are children of God. Yes, every single one of us are. But we live in a fallen world. We live in a world with a lot of distractions. And boy, we like to follow some of those distractions sometimes. And sometimes God needs to put us on the right path again. And sometimes He gives us people in our lives who love us enough to say, hey, you're going the wrong way. Hey, you might want to rethink what you're doing right now. You might want to think about how you're offending God right now. And boy, do we get angry. And we like to put the attention on somebody else at that point. Well, you don't understand. She made me do that, or he made me do that. This life situation's making me do that, or there's reason why we're doing it, and I know, and you know, God's going to understand. Hey, God doesn't understand sin. I mean, he understands where it comes from. He understands why we do it. But there's no justifying it in front of God. God is who he is. He says what he says, and what he does will be done. Or there's consequences. I think sometimes our arrogance gets in the way of really listening to the messenger. Balaam's arrogance here, I believe, was getting in the way with this donkey trying to take him to the right direction. Now, I think every one of us would have got mad and upset if we were riding a horse and a horse or a donkey was not going where we wanted to go. I've been there in life. The last time I rode horses with my wife, Mary, was about 20 years ago, and it was the last time I have or ever will probably ride a horse with Mary. And everybody got these beautiful horses, and they looked at me and saw that I was a big guy, and they said, we're going to give you, I forget the horse's name, but we're going to give you old Jeb or whatever his name was. Well, they bring out what looked like to me this 30-year-old Clydesdale horse, and throw me on top of it. Well, old Jed, he wasn't going to move. Everybody started off, and they were probably a quarter mile ahead of me, and my horse is just standing there eating grass, and Mary's yelling at me, you gotta kick it, let it go a little bit. You can't let it eat grass. Well, I'm like, you tell this horse that. He's going to do what he wants to do. I had a stubborn horse. Well, finally, I get it to move, and we catch up with people because my horse starts running. Believe it or not, old Jeb could start running. I got scared because I don't like riding. I don't know about riding horses. Finally catch up with the group. And well, my horse, we finally get to this little creek. And I start freaking out that we're going to go in water. Mary's like, she's right in front of me. And she's like, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. I'm like, we're going in the water. We're going in the water. And my horse, of course, is going slow. And they all are going slow. Well, while we're waiting to go over the water, Mary's horse has a big horse fly land on its rear end. Well, my horse, old Jeb, he decides to bite that horse fly on the horse's bottom, causing Mary's horse to kick my horse right in the head, and my horse goes right up on two rear legs, and I'm, oh, here we go. I'm holding on with dear life, and I got mad at my horse. I had enough, and I said, just go where you want to go. And finally, I don't know how we made it back to the barn, but we did, and they got me off that horse, and I looked at Mary, and I looked at that horse, and I said, I am never, ever riding a horse again, and I haven't for the last 20 years. So I understand Balaam's plight here. I understand getting mad and upset with a horse that won't do what you want it to do. And I think sometimes in life, though, we get very upset with people that don't do what we want them to do, or they say things we don't want to hear. And in our arrogance, thinking that we've got it all together, or we know what life should be about, or we know how to handle situations, we get angry and we get upset. We say, you're crazy. Look at your own life. You don't have everything. Well, no, they're human beings too. Of course they don't have everything put together. But they love you enough to tell you, hey, God's kind of opened my eyes to what's going on in your life. And let's talk about maybe a new direction that needs to be made here. Or a new thought process that needs to be made here. And instead of hating the messenger and getting upset with the messenger, why don't we pause for a moment and think, maybe God's got a message for me here. Maybe God's got a plan for me here. You know, we get upset with teachers and preachers and brothers and sisters in the church, and we just, I'm not going to listen to them. You know, that's foolishness. I've always told people, especially teenagers and kids, that I know it's hard to sit through an hour church service sometimes. But pay attention. As frustrated as you might get, maybe you don't like the worship that Sunday. Maybe you didn't like the preacher's sermon that Sunday. Maybe you're just in a grumpy mood or things aren't going right. Pay attention. Pay attention to everything that is said. Pay attention to everything that is prayed. Pay attention to the songs we sing. God might have one word for you in a sermon, in a worship song, in a communion meditation, in a prayer. He may have one thing that he wants you to hear today. So my message, and there's a lot of amazing things happening in this little story, is first and foremost, we need to quit getting angry with the messenger sometimes. And sometimes that messenger is God himself. God says, quit doing something, and we don't want to quit it, and we're like, we just ignore it. Well, maybe if I just ignore God's little voice there, or big voice, he'll just go away, and I can just continue. And God's not going away. Well, let's make that very clear. He's been here since the very beginning. He has been a part of his world since he created it. He's not going anywhere. He loves you to the point where he put his son's life down on the cross for you. He has a huge investment in you. He's not going anywhere. He's going to take care of his beloved. And if taking care of you is setting you back on the right direction, wait, listen. And don't get upset. Second thing I think we can get out of this story, and I think this is a big one, it has always interested me, or maybe got a laugh out of me ever since I read it as a child, was pure point, don't talk back to donkeys. I always found it very humorous that Balaam's on this trip. He's riding a donkey. He's getting mad at his donkey, and all of a sudden, after beating the donkey three times, the donkey turns its head around and starts speaking. And instead of being shocked, or instead of saying, what in the world just happened? Balaam is so mad, he starts having an argument with this donkey. How crazy is it? I can't imagine being on that horse with Mary that day and being so mad and so upset that horse turns around and starts talking to me, verbally speaking to me. I would have jumped off that horse in amazement. There is no way I would have had a conversation with that. I would have thought, I said, Mary, get me to the hospital. I'm having some kind of mental breakdown here. That didn't happen with Balaam because his anger was so great. Sometimes our anger blinds us from God's will. Balaam was so angry, so hateful towards this messenger here. He doesn't even pay attention that I am talking with a donkey right now. That should blow our minds. To the point where sometimes we need to look at ourselves, and it should blow our minds that when God sends us a messenger, we get so angry with the message, we can't make any sense out of what's happening or what's being said. Instead of stepping back and saying, he or she loved me so much. He or she put our friendship on the line. He or she put their reputation on the line to speak to me and set me on the right direction. It's not because they hate me. It's not because they are angry with me. It's not because they look down on me. They are concerned about my spiritual well-being to the point where they will speak. God was so concerned about Balaam, miraculously, he opened a donkey's mouth. He did everything he could to get this man's attention. You see, anger gets in the way of seeing the big picture. When we are so angry with the messenger, we don't see what's happening right in front. Balaam wasn't seeing that he was speaking to a donkey. How often do we get so angry we don't see the whole big picture of what God's trying to do? We don't see what he's trying to do. We just see it as, okay, God's taken away something else from my life. God just took away another person from my life. God just took away my health again. He just gave me this, give me that. Doesn't he know what he's doing to my life? And we get so angry, we don't see the big picture. How many times has God done something and you got angry with him, upset with him, didn't understand with him, and then when you look back 5 years later, oh, God knew what he was doing. Or you lost a job, or your finances fell apart, or you lost a loved one, but 5 years later, you can look back and say, oh, God took care of us. God had a plan there. A huge revelation for some people because of our arrogance. We need to be reminded, God is smarter than you. God is bigger than you. God is God, and you are not. Sometimes I need to be reminded of that. We all do from time to time. Some of us need a speaking donkey to yell at us. Sometimes that speaking donkey comes in the form of people we don't even expect. God has placed wonderful people in my life. He's given me a church family. He's given me preacher friends in the community. He's given me friends in my own neighborhood. That astounding things come out of their mouths that I just need to hear at the right time. And I know it comes from God. We need to calm down the anger sometimes so we can see the big picture and not have an argument with a donkey per se. Or have that anger and putting God in his place. Boy, we like to do that. We like to put God in his place as if we're something big. Hear this. You don't ever put God in his place. He is forever in his place. He knows his place. We sang it this morning. He has no equal. He has no rival. He is the greatest force in the universe, and he knows what's best for you. Give it to him. Don't talk back to talking donkeys. And if that does happen to you, I want to hear about it, please. And I want to know the conversation you had with that donkey. Probably the most important life lesson I want to finish up with this morning. When God tries to set you on the right direction, when he gives you that talking donkey per se, that person who loves you enough to protect you, don't give up. I think we get angry because we find ourselves in a low place and we don't know how to get out of it. Don't give up because God has not given up on you. He did not give up on you, and we know that because he sent somebody to help you. First, he sent his son to pull you out of the depths of your sin and guilt, and then he sent another human being who loved you enough to listen to God and help you set course on a different direction. Listen. And in order to not give up, and in order to listen to the voice of God, we first and foremost have to have a repentant heart. Be prepared to have a repentant heart, a heart that is willing to say, no more. I will not go on that path anymore. And I will allow God to set me on a new path. So when you allow God to put you on a new path, that other path is no longer an option. That exit has passed. And you're now going forward with God. What happens every time in the Bible when somebody looks backwards? They get in trouble. Some people literally, when they looked backwards, turned into a pillar of salt and died. When God sets you on a direction, you stay forward. And when you have a repentant heart that says, God, I am going to allow you to lead the way now. When you change direction, don't give up. Because God knows where he's taking you. He knows where he's sending you. And there is safety in that direction, and there is glory in that direction. Another part of not giving up is to allow the Holy Spirit to restore you. Balaam, when his eyes were open to what God was doing and he saw the angel of the Lord there, boy, he did have a repentant heart. He acknowledged, I'm sorry, I have sinned before you. But he also allowed God to restore him, to heal him. We need a lot more of that in our personal lives. When we find ourselves angry, or we find ourselves hurt, or we find ourselves being steered in a different direction, that is humbling. And that can hurt spiritually. And you're going to think to yourself, well, what good am I in the kingdom now? Now I'm embarrassed. I've been embarrassed in front of my family. I've been embarrassed in front of the church. They all know about my sin. I've been embarrassed in my community. Every one of us in this church knows we are all sinners, saved by the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. There is nothing to be embarrassed when your eyes are opened and you see the direction God wants you to change to. Allow the Holy Spirit to restore your heart. Maybe it's the person that corrected you that's going to help you in your restoration. Maybe it's your teacher, your preacher, your accountability partner, your spouse, your friend, whoever. But boy, pay attention to the voice of the Holy Spirit. He speaks in so many different ways. And allow him to restore your heart today. And the last thing I want us to remember, Balaam upset God, and he upset God for a reason. God corrected him. Balaam found himself with a repentant heart. He allowed God to restore him back to where he was. And what did he quit? Did Balaam say, all right, I'm going home. There's no more use for me in the kingdom. God's done with me. He's angry with me. He's upset with me. And now there's no place for me. No. What did Balaam do? Continued to serve. And that's what I'm going to tell you this morning. If you need correction in your life, or you've been corrected in your life, allow God to correct that. But in the process, don't ever stop serving God. Don't ever think you're not worthy, you're not good enough, because I got a clue for you. None of us are worthy. None of us are good enough. There's only one that's good, and that's God. But yet, in his love and in his grace and in his mercy, he chooses to use you. He chooses to use me. I have no idea why. I have no idea why I have audience with you guys this morning. But he gives it. Don't quit serving him. Don't give up on yourself, because he has not given up on you. And you will serve him for eternity. Don't think that when your time here on earth, you're going to be done serving God. John's vision of heaven in Revelation makes it very clear. What are you going to be doing day and night? Serving him. Serving God. You are going to have audience with God forever. And it says his people will be serving him day and night. So practice. Practice, practice, practice here on earth. Allow God to use you when the Holy Spirit tugs on your heart to be used. Go in the direction that he would have you go. Those are just a few life lessons that I got growing up as a kid and into adult life of this talking donkey. It's a crazy story. It's a crazy story because we serve an amazing God that does some amazing things. And sometimes the things he does seem impossible. Well, yeah, because he's not bound to the laws of this earth. He can do some incredible things with your life if you allow him. And it all starts with a walk with Jesus Christ. It all starts with allowing Jesus to forgive you of your sins. It all starts with allowing Jesus to transform you from a sinner to a saint, a child of God that has been forgiven. Your sins have been removed. And the only way to do that is to acknowledge Jesus as Lord, to ask for forgiveness. to be buried in his baptism, put away the old self, allow God to raise up a new that will follow him. I pray that you'll turn into a human being that won't sit and have arguments with donkeys, because it's not worth the time or the effort. Be a human that will listen to the voice of God and go in the direction he would have you go this morning. We are going to give all praise, glory, and honor to God right now as we sing our invitation song. We're going to sing "To God Be the Glory." Thank God that he loves us enough to send people in our paths to open our eyes and to open our hearts when we're going in the wrong direction. Listen to that voice. Pay attention and don't get angry. Let's stand. If you need to make a decision for Jesus Christ this morning, today's your opportunity. But let's give him the glory right now.
Be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, to yield his life and atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done.